the main reasons why a lot of students drop out is because they don't get right information at the right time. So, for example, I'm a single mother or a single father. I put my kids to sleep. I have like 1 hour window where I need to do my coursework. If I don't get support during that 1 hour, it's very highly likely that I'm going to get demotivated. So how do I build a tool or a system that can give me that support at the time that I need it?
Today, I'm real excited to have another episode of EdTech Connect podcast and some exciting news. We have broken into the Apple podcast top charts, top 10 for education. So if you go to your podcast browse categories, we've been bouncing between number 4 and number 9 all week. So please give us a review. Keep listening. Pass it on to a friend. We'd love to keep that position. It's really helped with our listeners and downloads. Today's guest, I'm excited to have. He is a wealth of knowledge in ed tech. Dipesh Jain is the Vice President of Revenue at Magic EdTech, a leading digital learning solutions provider based in New York. With over a decade of experience spanning sales, marketing, and business development, Dipesh has played a pivotal role in driving growth and client success in the EdTech space. At Magic EdTech, he leads the sales and marketing functions, helping global education providers transform their learning products through AI, accessibility, and innovative digital platforms. Before joining Magic, Dipesh held leadership roles at Tally Solutions, where he significantly increased regional sales contributions and spearheaded successful product launches. An MBA graduate from Narasimha Monjee Institute of Management Studies and a trained physical therapist, Dipesh brings a unique blend of business acumen and human-centric thinking to his work. He's also an active voice on Medium, where he shares insights on ed tech growth and strategy and digital transformation. So Dipesh, it is great to have you on the show today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me, and great to be on the show, Jeff.
Well, you have had such a diverse career from physical therapy to ed tech leadership. Tell us what inspired this journey.
So yes, I've had a variety of roles I've played. If I look back at it, I don't think it was planned that way. I don't think any careers are planned. When you're a kid, when you're growing up, you just do what comes to you. And so just to give you some context, I did physical therapy because at that time I had two options. I had either engineering or physical therapy. I didn't want to do engineering. So I did physical therapy. When I was in third or fourth year, I don't want to do this. I just went with the flow, I would say. But in the hindsight, I think all those experiences, me being a physical therapist, helped me a lot in my role in relationship management, if you think about it. And I really like that non-linear journey. So it's been a happenstance, not very carefully planned, but I'm happy that it happened this way. And I'm happy to be in that tech role right now. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the mission of Magic EdTech. What drew you to that mission and what keeps you excited about the work you're doing?
I think the mission is digital learning for everyone. It's, you know, with the advent of digital learning, our goal is to make sure that it touches everyone. And that's the mission that I'm very proud of. Something that I consider education to be the biggest gift the world has today. Everybody has the right to education. So what we're doing here really, really resonates with me because education has changed my life, has changed your life, has changed everybody's life. And I love what Magic is doing to help change people's life. So
love that message. You work with some of the world's leading education providers. How do you approach building the trust and the long-term partnerships in such a competitive space?
So you're right. We've been around for 30 plus years now, 35 years to be precise. This year, actually, we celebrate our 35th anniversary. And I think we had customers who've been with us for 10 plus years, some almost 15, 20 years. And the only way customers stay with you that long is if you treat them as partners and not, you know, customers. So we work with our customers as partners. You know, we are the product and technology development partner. We don't just take the order and execute on it, but we work with them to see, okay, hey, this is what you want. We think that you could achieve it in a better way. So we almost work like an extension of their team rather than a partner. So that's one. I think we really understand their challenges. what do they face in the market? So there is an empathy that comes with that. So I think that's another one. And at the end of the day, the results speak for themselves. Customers will stay with us only if we deliver results year on year. So I think they've seen that and they continue to see that. So we've been lucky in this education space. The customers are also very, very mission driven. So that plays a role in all of this.
Well, how does your team help clients navigate this shift towards ethical AI and accessible digital learning? What's your take on that?
So you touched on two topics. Both are very, very dear to me and important. Accessibility, I'll talk about that first. So one of the things with digital learning is it makes it accessible to a lot more people. So Magic firmly believes in making learning accessible. We sit with our clients and help them understand the power of accessibility right at the beginning of product development. So I think that really helps. Coming to the second part is ethical AI. I think it is, a lot of it is written about AI, how do you implement AI, but it's not as easy as it seems, especially in educational institutes. You know, you are dealing with students and teachers, and you want to make sure that it's guardrailed, it is non-biased. You know, it may not be a cutting edge, but it has to be like safe, secure, and reliable. So a lot of times we work with our clients to help them get there, to help them implement AI, which is guardrailed, which is secure, and at the same time helps improve the core mission of learning. And it's not just another parlor trick. So I think we really, really work and make sure that we help our customers guide through this.
Yeah. Do you have any specific use cases or success stories in that regard?
Absolutely. I think we have a couple of good ones. We're doing a lot of AI implementation, but there are different use cases. One is student-facing use case, and then second is internal to an institute. So we're working with one institute, our higher ed institute, for example. They have multiple campuses, and they spend a lot of time just figuring out their leases and their rent and things like that. So we've helped them build a system for their finance department to figure it out at a click of a button. Like, they don't need to go through making sure that the legal complexities are taken care of. They get the information that they need. So this is more for an internal use case for a university system. Now, there are student use cases, which we've seen a lot. But one of my favorite implementation is, we have a client who has a lot of video content. And video content is almost unidirectional. There is a lecture, you listen to it, and you go from there. But we've helped build a tool that helps students interact with these videos. And there are a lot of these tools available, but we have customized this tool for this institute that helps them interact with the videos. In the middle of the night, they have a question. They can ask the question to the tool. And it will give them exact time in the video where this question is answered, so students can refer to that. So I think these two are my favorite. There are many other implementations, but these two, you know, just helps improve learning and makes processes efficient.
Yeah, that's a great one. Making video more interactive and on demand when you need it. It's great. Can you tell us about Magic Box? What's unique about this platform? How is it transforming digital content delivery?
So Magic Box is a content distribution ecosystem. It basically takes any kind of content and delivers it across variety of ecosystems infrastructure. So if you have to deliver content within school or universities, you have, your platform has to match a lot of local compliances, single sign-ons, LTI integrations, and things like that. We built all of this in Magic Box. So if you are a content provider, you can take this platform, white label it, and then use that to distribute your content across different devices to students and teachers. So you don't need to build these tools yourself. You know, as the education ecosystem grows, we have more integrations, we have more compliances to take care of. We built all of this in the platform. You can take the platform, white label it, and distribute your content across millions of learners. So I think it's very unique in that regards, but it solves the problem of building your own versus just white labeling something and sending your content out.
Is it like an open source, your version of a CMS or a DXP? Is that kind of what it is?
It's not an open source. It's, we own the IP of the platform, right. But it is similar to that. Like, as you mentioned, it's a combination of a CMS and LLMS where you can store content and deliver content seamlessly in a white labeled manner.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about what does the ideal school that comes to you, what are their problems that you often solve, or what are you best at? What's that common scenario that you're solving for?
So a lot of schools today are facing a few issues, right? Enrollment is an issue. Engagement is an issue, or student retention is an issue. And if you think about it, there are various causes of student retention issues student engagement. Some of them are related to the overall ecosystem of a student. Today, a lot of students are, let's say, adult learners. They're working multiple jobs. They're learning on demand. You know, at that time, it is very important for the technology to serve them well. So a lot of time when we work with universities, they have online learning, but students are not engaging with the online learning because the platforms and the tools that they use are not designed with this modern student in mind. The modern student is learning on the go. They're learning at night. Your tools and ecosystem need to adapt to that. So that's one of the problems. We help them modernize or transform their tools and learning platforms to cater to the modern student. And I think that's one of the things that improves engagement and improves motivation for retention. There are many other, but this I would say is one of the bigger ones.
Gotcha. So can you work with an institution's existing tech stack and have Magic Box or work on top of that or with their current systems?
Yes, so we can work with the current tech stack and we provide services. Magic Box is a separate platform. But what we do is we understand all the technology platforms and the content that they have, and we can work with that to either, for example, the content is static PDFs, which is not engaging. We can convert them into interactive courses or refresh those courses. The platform is, let's say, legacy platform, and it needs modern UI, so we could work on that. It needs a mobile component. We can work on that. So yes, so that's the services that we provide to institutions.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Where can you find a consultant who knows your challenges, really? With decades of campus executive experience, the Mackey Strategies senior team provides interim leadership, presidential and vice presidential counsel, crisis communications, and technology guidance built on real-world success. Mackey Strategies, expertise when it matters most.
Accessibility and DEI are a big part of Magic's DNA. How do you ensure inclusivity is built into your product development?
It's a very good question. It's something very close to my heart. So the way to get inclusivity is just the team that we have is also a diverse team of people. So when we get in with our client, we understand the product from a very diverse lens. What we do is we consider accessibility as the cornerstone of, so if you're building any experiences, it has to meet the needs of all students, irrespective of their abilities. So we have a team that is focused on accessibility, which is certified in accessibility standards. Now we work with our customers to help them understand the roadmap. A lot of the accessibility-driven transformation, unfortunately, today happens because of DOJ guidelines and mandates. But we work with our customers to make sure that they don't have to face that. So they build products that are accessible first, rather than having to retrofit them to make them accessible.
How do you balance the innovation with scalability, especially when you're working with clients in different regions and with different educational systems?
So one thing that we've learned is that education works very differently in different markets. So, you know, one size fits all. Doesn't, like, what works in America doesn't work in UK, doesn't work in Poland or India. So we need to be mindful of that. So that's number one. When it comes to innovation, we've seen that higher ed and education has been slow to innovate. And there's a reason for that. You know, you want to make sure that you take students along with you with innovation because you're serving a large population of students coming from different strata. So our goal is how do we make sure that innovation feels more natural rather than a substantial shift in their pattern? Because when you do that, the learning gets disrupted. So innovation in education has to be incremental rather than a substantial shift, because in that case, you won't take all the learners along with you. You will take learners who have the resources and means, but what about others who do not? So it's substantial and it's sequential, and it is slow and gradual innovation with scalability.
So how are you building AI into your product, or if at all, and how do you see AI helping education the most right now?
It's a very good question, Jeff. And if you go to any conferences these days, it's like AI everywhere. There's so much noise. It is difficult to differentiate. The way we have taken the approach is we have to first very deeply understand the journey of a student and a teacher and an administrator. What is their day-to-day? What are their life goals? And then trace it backward. What are the friction points for them to achieve those goals, right? And then how do we build AI that helps them overcome those friction points? So I'll give you one example. One of the main reasons why a lot of students drop out is because they don't get right information at the right time. So for example, I'm a single mother or a single father. I put my kids to sleep. I have like 1 hour window where I need to do my coursework. If I don't get support during that 1 hour, it's very highly likely that I'm going to get demotivated. So how do I build a tool or a system that can give me that support at the time that I need it? And that's, for me, is a win that you can achieve with AI rather than trying to build tools that are cool to show but not very substantial to implement. So I would say that as a look at the journey, look at the friction points and take it backwards and build for that. I think that's how we approach any AI implementation.
Yeah, I love that example. It's a great one. Can you share a story or example where your team helped a client overcome a major digital transformation hurdle?
Yeah, in fact, we're doing it right now. So a lot of universities are right now, they have Title II deadline in April 1st, which is a DOJ Title II deadline, and which is for accessibility. So a lot of universities have, or even institutes or publishers have content that is not accessible or platforms that are not accessible. And they need to make them accessible in a quick period of time. That's a major portion of work. So what we are doing is we are helping them achieve those goals by using a mix of automation and manual work, where we are looking at their products and platform and quickly auditing them and then remediating those. It's, I think, a big lift for a lot of them because they've never thought about accessibility in the first place. So now if you look at all the PDF that they've created and to make them accessible, to make them available. So that's, I think, one example. Another example is developing these AI tools that we spoke about. Like, you know, a lot of times you work with the internal teams and they're slow moving. So how do we make sure that we work along with them to build these kind of tools that can be implemented at scale? So I think those are the two examples that come to my mind.
I love those examples. With your leadership across sales and marketing, how do you align these functions to support your revenue growth?
I have a very clear principle when it comes to any go-to-market team. I think the customer is the primary thing. So you have to understand, each team has to understand the customer deeply. If you understand customers, their goal, their motivation, their friction points, and then you align with that, the internal alignment between these groups become very, very easy. If you don't understand your customer persona really well, and when I say really well, I don't mean that just their surface level characteristics, but things like what do they go to bed at night with an issue? What is that issue? What do they talk to their partner about? What are the frustrations that they have in their day-to-day? If the marketing and sales team is aligned with that, it becomes very easy to then align within internally because we are then solving for that common pain point. That's the approach that I've always taken. Just understand a customer deeply, spend as much time as possible, interview as many people as possible, but get that deep understanding of a customer really well.
Yeah. Just within the US market, can you talk about understanding the customer? Can you talk about the differences between the different types of universities and then within the universities, the types of personas or job titles you work with? For example, Ivy Leagues versus the R1s and the R2s and the private not-for-profits all the way down to community colleges. Is there more that you work with or you see different challenges with in different areas in the U.S.?
Yeah, so there are different ways you can bifurcate the university system, right? The one that I typically like to look at is what kind of audience is this serving? Is this serving a traditional student out of high school getting into? Is it serving an adult population, which is, you know, this is not their, they have done job, they're coming back to study? That's one big difference because the user journey for both of them is going to be very, very different. And then taking that lens and then seeing what makes sense for, because if you're working with a traditional student, chances are they are digitally savvy. If you're working with an adult population, even if they are digitally savvy, they have other challenges. A lot of times they are the first generation. So I think that is one of the key parameters that we look at. The other one is whether it's a private university versus a publicly funded, and in that, what kind of audience that it serves. Does it serve more of wealthy students versus students with not a lot of resources. So that also, the way they use technology and content is very different. So I think these are the different lenses we take. The audience we serve, all these institutes, are on the content side, are provosts and deans and academic officers. And on the technology side, it will be a CIO or a CTO to help them build platforms.
That makes sense. How has your previous experience at Tally Solutions and other companies shaped your leadership style today?
I credit a lot of my current role to my experience as a physical therapist, actually. You know, as a physical therapist, you're building relations with your patients. You know, these are patients who are in pain. They don't want to do exercise, but you work with them to make them understand why exercise is important for them. So you build a lot of rapport and patience and relationship. So I think a lot of what I do comes from there. At Tally, I was in channel sales. So I was working with our partners. So, you know, my goals were dependent on how they performed. So I was not responsible for what they were doing, but what they did affected my growth. So I learned a different style of working with people. And I think both of those have been very helpful for my current role today.
Right. We talked a little bit about AI. What role do you think emerging technologies like AI and analytics play in the future of digital learning from your perspective?
There are different roles, but I think the two main things that come to my mind, there are two ways AI is going to change or is changing learning completely. One, I touched upon a little earlier, it makes learning bidirectional. So today what happens is one of the drawbacks of digital learning is very unidirectional. You consume, you consume, you consume. But when you have to talk, you don't have anybody to go to, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the limitation of physical education. When you are in classroom, you can talk to your teacher. But today with AI, any piece of learning can become bidirectional. If you're reading a PDF, ask a question, get the answer. If you're reading, watching a video, ask a question, get an answer. I think that's a big, big shift and people don't realize how important that is. That's one. The second is, today you can personalize learning at scale, which was not possible earlier. In a classroom of 30 students or in 80 students, 100 students, each learner is different from other learner. But back in the days, it was so difficult to differentiate that learning. Today, with these tools, you can actually differentiate personalized learning for each learner so that they achieve the best outcome for them. I think these are the two main things. Apart from everything else, I think core principles, the bidirectional and personalizing learning at scale, is changing education forever.
Yeah, that's pretty insightful. You have a global footprint. Magic EdTech is international. I've had a few other companies that have been global, but not too many. How do you tailor strategies for international markets but stay true to your brand?
Yeah, it definitely requires a lot of... So because we are global, we have people who are with different backgrounds, people born in different countries, different geographies. We kind of empathize with learning in all these markets. So I think the key is, again, coming back to the same thing, understanding what is the persona of that market, who are the key audience, what are some of the strengths and weaknesses in that market, and then tailoring our strategy for that. So, for example, if you go to an emerging economy, the digital infrastructure might not be that great. For example, India, right? A lot of learning happens on phones because, you know, phone internet is cheap. People are on the go. So how do you take the learning technology and content and adapt it to phones? Because very important in that market. Versus if you go in some areas, internet is not existent. So how do you give a group good offline experience? Becomes important. In some markets, it's very regulated. Government regulated policies. So how do you tailor your experiences for that? So I think understanding the users in that market and then the systems and then taking it from there and being very mindful about this, like not taking what works in the US and just adapting it doesn't work. You have to localize it for each geography.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, looking ahead, what excites you most about the future of learning and Magic EdTech's role in shaping it?
I think the thing that really excites me is how it excites me. It also gives me a little bit of fear, I'll tell you. So the thing that excites me is how anybody can learn anything using AI. So if you today decide, I want to change my career and become somebody else, you can work with AI and create a complete roadmap for you, implement those skills and go about it. I think I find it very, very powerful. I have a six-year-old, Jeff. His favorite movie is Zootopia. And I don't know if you've seen Zootopia, there's a dialogue there. In Zootopia, anybody can be anything. I think today, in our world, anybody can be anything.
Yeah.
I think that's how I look at it. What scares me about that a little bit is the gap of equity. Like, you know, will people who are wealthier have access to better AI tools versus somebody who's not? And will that lead, create another gap like we see digital divide?
Mm-hmm.
And that worries me a lot, that how do you make sure that people, that it reaches to all the levels of society? And I hope that we work towards that, because otherwise it's going to create another gap that we see anyways with digital. So,
yeah, I've thought the same thing about the equity gap. You know, when it first came out, I thought, you know, any student now should be able to create at least C-level work. And now it's even higher, I think. And so they should be able to, maybe it will help them with their degrees. But access to the tools is a whole other story, right? So, well, Dipesh, this has really been great to talk to you. I'm going to put links to your company's website and your LinkedIn in the show notes. Thank you for being on the show. It was really insightful.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for your questions. And it was great talking to you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
As we wrap up this episode, remember, EdTech Connect is your trusted companion on your journey to enhance education through technology. Whether you're looking to spark student engagement, refine EdTech implementation strategies, or stay ahead of the curve in emerging technologies, EdTech Connect brings you the insights you need. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an inspiring and informative episode. And while you're there, please leave us a review. Your feedback fuels us to keep bringing you valuable content. For even more resources and connections, head over to edtechconnect.com, your hub for EdTech reviews, trends, and solutions. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.